Job was everybody's envy. He and Mrs. Job were blessed with 10 children, thousands of livestock, and servants to spare. Wives used to ask their husbands, "Why don't you treat me like Job treats his wife?" Job won Father of the Year every year. Even God wrote this on Job's report card. "Job is blameless and upright, fears God, shuns evil. He's a joy to have in class." Well, little did Job know that he got the attention of the devil. And the devil asked God himself for permission to attack. And God granted permission just as long as he didn't touch Job's health. So the next day, the devil rained shock and awe on Job. A messenger ran up to Job out of breath. "Sir, the Sabians stole your oxen and your donkeys. They even killed your servants with a sword. And I'm the only one who got out of there alive." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came running. "Sir, sir, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up your sheep and servants. I'm so sorry. I'm the only one who got out alive." While he was still speaking, another messenger sprinted up to him. "Sir, three bands of Chaldeans, they came and they raided your camels. They killed your servants. I'm so sorry. I'm the only one who got out of there alive." While he was still speaking, another messenger came running. The first three were sad, but this one was crushed. He stopped, looked at Job, he bowed his head and said, "Sir, I'm so sorry. Your sons and your daughters, they were in your oldest son's house. And a whirlwind from the wilderness came out of nowhere. Your kids didn't have a chance. I'm so sorry, Job, but all of your children are dead." All of this news hit him within minutes. Job heard it. Then he stood up, he ripped his robe, and he worshiped. And this was the song Job sang. "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What remarkable faith. And we're going to learn more about that faith right after this. Hey, you're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to The Lord of What's Left on Simplify. One day, Job had it all. The same day, he almost lost it all. But he did not lose it all. Job still had his faith. God grinned when he saw the devil come back for a follow-up because Job still clutched his faith. But the devil had been rehearsing his lines. And he asked God for permission to attack Job's health. He just knew Job would curse God to his face if God would let him touch Job's health. And so God agreed. But he drew the line at his life because the devil can only run as far as God's leash allows. So Satan attacked Job with boils from head to toe. And he sat down in a pile of ashes and scraped his skin with a broken piece of clay. Then he heard his wife's voice. Oh, thank God for the missus. She stood by her man through richer and poorer, and certainly it's been more rich than poor, but certainly right now she's going to say all the right words to make it all right. And Job's wife looked at her once powerful, rich, popular husband sitting in the ashes, scraping his skin with a broken piece of clay, and this was her wise counsel to her hurting husband. Curse God and die. Get it over with. You're not going to find that on an anniversary card. That's all Job had left. A handful of grieving servants and a wife who lost her children and her faith all in the same day. And it wasn't much, but Job was about to learn, and so were we, that the Lord didn't just give Job what he lost. He also gave Job what he had left. And the Lord is the Lord of what's left. Job's friends heard about Job, and they traveled from their house to his just to cheer him up. But when they saw him, it took their breath away. All the pens and barns that used to be full were empty. The house where Job's children lived was reduced to rubble. The houses where the servants used to live were all but empty. And Job's wife spiraled into deep depression, and Job was sitting in the ashes, scraping his skin with a broken piece of clay. His friends were speechless. What do you say to someone who just lost everything? Well, they didn't say a word for 7 days. That was the wisest counsel they gave Job the entire time. They just sat there with Job. Nobody knew what to say. Finally, Job broke the awkward silence and cursed the day he was born. Job still had his faith, but he did have his doubts. And he wondered whether he should have been born. And that opened the floodgates for Job's friends to open their mouths and spew what they thought was wisdom. And for the next 34 chapters of our Bible, Job and Job's friends went back and forth. Job's friends had convinced themselves that Job was secretly sinning and God was publicly punishing him. Finally, Job had enough, and he demanded his day in court with God so he could defend himself before God. For 37 chapters, God let everyone else speak while he listened. Then God spoke. And he asked Job and his no-help trio a flurry of questions, and Job didn't have a good answer for any of them. That's when he realized, God is God, and I am not. When Job repented, God responded and told Job's friends to repent because they were wrong about God and about Job. This was not a matter of sin. This was a matter of faith. Suddenly, after 7 days of a mock court mocking Job for sins he didn't commit, the family Job had left found him. His brothers and sisters and former friends he had left found him and feasted with him again in the home he and his wife still had left. Job had his wife, which I know that may not seem like much of a prize, but God looked on Job and blessed Job and gave Job and his wife 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. They couldn't replace the sons and daughters he lost, and they certainly didn't make losing them any easier. But when God blessed Job and Mrs. Job with 10 more children, God showed Job that he is the Lord of what's left. And for the second half of his life, God blessed Job even more than the first half. If you check the inventory in his barns, Job had double the camels, double the oxen, double the donkeys, double the sheep, as he had when he first started, because the Lord is the Lord of what's left. Job could have given the rest of his life away lamenting all he lost on that day, but he trusted God to be the Lord of what's left, and he surrendered what little he had left to God, and God blessed it, and this time, for all time, God, not Job, got the glory. I believe someone listening to this episode is regretting the years you gave away from God. Maybe you served God, maybe you walked with Jesus early on, but you walked out of church, you walked out on God, but now you're back and you're listening and you're maybe watching online again for your services or you're going to church again. And let me say that he and we are all so glad you're back. But today, as you go into a new year, today you might lament the years you lost. Or maybe you just came to know Jesus later on in life and you wish you could have lived your younger years for him, but you can't go back and take those back. Please don't just lament what you lost. Give God what you have left. Surrender the years you have left to God to glorify him and make disciples for him. He is the Lord of what's left, and he can bless the second half abundantly more than the first half. This pandemic has certainly stolen away so much from all of us. In fact, it's stolen away so many from all of us. We lost so many, we lost so much, but rather than only lament all we lost, let's move into 2021 thanking God for what he has given us and give him what we have left. If we will, he will bless it, he will bless us, and he will use what we have left for his glory. As Job learned and we are about to, our Lord is the Lord of what's left. Would you please join me right now and let's pray that God would help us in this new year to surrender to him what we have and what we have left and allow him to use all of it for his glory. Jesus, I love you. You are so good. I know so many listening to this episode are hurting because of all we have lost and whom we lost in 2020. But I know you're the Lord of what's left. I know you gave us not only what we lost, but also what we have left. And I pray today, help us to give it to you, whether it's our pain, whether it's our victories, our triumphs, our struggles, our trials, the times we failed, the times we stood. We give all of that to you. And we ask you to use it in some way as a testimony for your glory. God, I surrender the years you have given me, all of those you have given me left, whether I have days left or I have years left, I surrender every one of them to you. And I pray you would use them all for your glory. Help everyone who's listening to this to give you what we have left and pray for you to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Thank you for joining me all the way through 2020, all the way into this brand new year, 2021. It still has that fresh new year smell on it, so that's pretty exciting. I encourage you to look toward this year, look to God this year, ask him to lead you and direct you, and ask him to use what you have left, all for his glory and the honor of his name. If you're still looking for a way to start the new year right, why don't you pick up the devotional Simplify? That's what launched this whole podcast, and it's a 52-week devotional that is based on the calendar year. So you start it off in the beginning of the year, and you can pick it up on Amazon in Kindle form, or you can pick it up at PentecostalPublishing.com. You can get that on ebook, or you can get that in print. You can hold that in your hands and read that all throughout the year, and I believe that'll help you to draw closer to God. Once again, Happy New Year to you. Hope you've had a very Merry Christmas. Next week in the new year, I want to share with you a devotion called It's a Good Day to Be Alive. And it truly is. We're blessed. And I want to share that with you. Looking forward to that. And always look forward to walking with Jesus as we walk through Simplify. Happy New Year.